I hope you don't miss the first part of the church service. I know the sermon is awesome. I know the sermon is great. You know, when people come to church, they look forward to the sermon. But don't miss the anointing. Amen. The anointing is a freebie. You don't have to have big faith. As long as you're in the church, you cannot touch water and not be wet. Do you understand?
Amen.
So, 10:30, right? Right there, boom, right there. Allow the anointing to just bathe you. The water is amazing, right? You don't have to have big faith. When the anointing hits, okay, even if you're not a believer, you have not put your faith in Jesus, man. When the anointing hits, it does not matter. God sends rains both to the righteous and the unrighteous. Do you understand? God does not discriminate. You just come, right? Just by coming, it's already an act of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. So 10:30, right? Make sure you are here, 10:30, because the anointing is there that touches you and heal you, shoulders, and then this part, the front part of your legs. The Lord was stooping down and touching that part. Amen? Hallelujah. That's amazing. That's amazing. Amen? What if I don't get instantaneous healing? What if you did not get instantaneous manifestation of your healing? Man, we're living in an instant generation, right? Everything is instant, instant, instant. Beloved of God, I want to let you know that some of the biggest healing that you receive may not be instantaneous. Some of the biggest healing that you receive will be that gradual, steady, improving and improving and improving. Amen. That is not less supernatural than those who can throw away crutches. Have you seen like some of the services, they throw away crutches and stuff? Man, that's amazing, man. Instantaneous miracles. The nice thing about instantaneous miracles is you cannot reason out. Well, it's because I've been eating a lot of calcium lately. I've been drinking my milk, man. Man, that's, you know. And then it's like, well, did the healing come from God or did the healing come from your food? Where do you put your faith in? Do you put your faith in your diets? Or you put your faith in the Lord who can bless your food? Hey, let's not be confused with the fact that God is really the source of your health and healing. Amen?
Amen.
All that healthy diets, healthy food, without the blessing of God, they're just food. Okay, they're just food. But with the blessing of God, man, right? That healing, that health benefits, they all come from the Lord.
Yes.
Amen? So I just want to encourage you, beloved of God, the anointing is here. The moment that I sang, "Great is thy faithfulness," boom, the anointing is already flowing. The rivers are already flowing. The rivers are already flowing. All right? Some of you had instantaneous miracles. Some of you had the gradual improving of your condition. Hey, where's that headache? I don't have that headache anymore. Where is that migraine? I don't feel that migraine anymore. Man, I feel my shoulder is more relaxed. I don't feel tensed up. But I still feel some pain. I still have some pain. Man, be thankful for the 30% of your healing. Don't despise your 30% improvement. Amen?
Amen?
Because if you continue to maintain that posture of faith, you may reach the 60% level. Right? That's how the word, the seed works. Do you remember the parable of the seed?
Yeah.
Right? Even the seed that fell on a good ground, it did not boom. Immediately, it became a full corn crop, right? Right? Man, that's a miracle. I throw in the seed. Boom. And then, I know God can do that, right? He is God. But He chose, right? It starts with the stem or whatever, and then it begins with the leaves of the corn, and then once the leaf has grown, and then the ear begins to come forth. It's the way of God saying, right? You may not receive instantaneous healing, but that does not make you a lesser Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? Man, I want instantaneous healing. I don't know about you, man. I can't wait for the instantaneous miracles and instant everything. But I'm not discouraged when my condition, I still experience 70% of pain. Right? Because I know I will reach the 60% level as I keep on giving thanks to Him and praise Him. Amen? That's how the kingdom of God works, beloved of God. Right? But here is the problem. Many times people look at their glass half empty rather than half full. Do you understand? That is your flesh. I'm sorry, it's not the devil all the time. I wish I can give credit to the devil all the time. Well, the devil makes me do this. The devil makes me do that. Well, the devil has been given more credit than he deserves. Yeah. Many times the problem is your own stinking flesh. The flesh is the part of you, right, that always goes toward the negative. Right? If you have 9 things going right in your life and 1 thing that is not currently working, your flesh will point you to that 1 thing that you don't have. Yeah. That is that stinking flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? The problem with the flesh, you cannot rebuke it like the devil. The devil is an easy problem, right? If the devil harass you, if the devil give you thoughts of like suicidal thoughts, for example, man, you know, all kinds of weird thoughts. Many times it can come from the devil. You say, hush. Be gone. Right? In the name of Jesus. The devil has no choice. Do you understand? When you say, hush, he has to be quiet. In the name of Jesus. Because in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. There is no devil big enough that can defy the name above all names. But let me ask you this question. Can you say to your flesh, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you, flesh. From now on, you are gone. No, no. I hope you don't pray that. Amen. Without your flesh, man, you have to go to heaven. I don't recommend you praying. From now on, I don't have any flesh. Okay, don't say it. Don't even say it. You're going to have to take off this earth suit and go up there. Alright? Okay? Don't pray that. So, I want to let you know, we still have the flesh. Alright? And today, I believe the Lord is going to give us the blessing to let us know that even though we live in the flesh, but we do not have to walk after the flesh. Amen. Yeah. I think it was Linda sharing with me one time. She said that, Pastor, one time I was tempted to be depressed, but said, I have the power to choose not to be depressed. Amen. I thought, wow. Amen. Right? Amen. Even though she is in the flesh, but she chose not to walk after it. Yes. You have the power, right? To say, nope. I'm in charge, boy. Yeah. Right? You have to discipline your flesh. Your flesh cannot be the one that is in charge of your life. Because if the flesh is in charge of your life, man, you will die. I'm sorry, I just go straight to the point. If you walk after the flesh, you shall die. I don't know how to water it down. That's what the Bible says. But if you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So God knows that we still have the flesh. And He did not leave us alone without a helper.
Yeah.
And if you have Jesus Christ in your life, if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life, God has sent you the Holy Spirit. The only solution for the flesh is the Holy Spirit. You're not the solution to the flesh. You have no power to fight your flesh. The stronger you try with your willpower to get rid of sin in your life, the stronger the flesh will have a heyday. Without the Holy Spirit, you have no chance to win the fight. You might as well give up right now. Alright? But if you allow the Holy Spirit to fight the flesh has no choice. There's no choice. I mean, the Spirit against the flesh, who do you think will win? The Holy Spirit, right? But how come the Holy Spirit, many times it seems like the flesh is winning over me? It's because I am trying to interfere with the work of the Holy Spirit by trying to help God. By trying to help the Holy Spirit here a bit, right? By putting a little bit of my human self efforts, right? Let me try harder. Let me, from now on, Pastor, I'm not going to open that computer anymore. So much junk. From now on, I'm not going to open that computer. I'm never going to, you know, read news. No, man, I'm telling you, you cannot put your self efforts, man. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to give you the power to put to death the deeds of the body. Man, I just gave you something that is really, really good. By the way, that was not the start of the sermon. That was the appetizer. That was just the appetizer. But I feel that I just want to preach my heart out today. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good. You know, sometimes I feel like, Lord, why do we have to live with watches? You know, except for Mondays, probably, I don't carry my watch to work. I don't know why. I just feel like I don't want to carry my watch anymore. I feel like the watch sometimes is what's causing me stress. Deadline. Why did we call it deadline? Why not call it lifeline, you know? It's like the word in this world needs to be changed. Man, I'm dying for that cheesecake. Why are you dying for that cheesecake? If you died, you can't enjoy the food. Right? You should say, man, I'm living for that cheesecake, right? Why? I'm dying for that. Why do you have to die for that? If you die, you can't enjoy anything, right? You can't praise the Lord, right? Man, I'm telling you, we got to change our vocabulary, right? I don't know why I mentioned about the watch and all those things, but I feel like sometimes I'm so used to the patterns of this world that I'm accustomed to the death in this world. And I say, not for my generation. I'm going to be serving my generation.
Yes.
I'm going to tell people, you know, what the Lord has revealed unto me. Right? Man, I'm telling you, even though you live in this world, you're not of this world. Call me aliens, doesn't matter. Right?
Yeah.
Call me Superman from another planet, so be it. Right? Even though I live in this world, I'm not of this world. And if the devil can put you in a realm of carnality based on what you see, you know the five senses? How many know the five senses? What you see, what you can hear, what you can touch, what you can smell. Right? That's the five senses, right? If the devil can make you natural, Just think like the people of this world. You will become like the people of this world. You will smell like one. They go through that problem, you go through the same problem. Right? But if you think supernaturally, like Jesus said, even though you are in this world, you're not of this world. Because I have put my spirit in you. Right? If you belong to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. And those who don't have the Holy Spirit, they're none of His. God says they're not mine. Right? If you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Right? You are supernatural. Right? You are supernatural. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know what problem that you're dealing with. That problem is a natural thing. Yes? That problem does not exist in the supernatural realm up there. I don't care what it is. I don't know. From the biggest problem like heart diseases, cancers, multiple sclerosis, OCD problems, this disorder, that disorder, whatever problems, they don't exist in the supernatural realm out there. So I can make this statement, whatever problem that you're dealing with, they're natural. But you are not natural. You are more than a conqueror in Christ, the Bible says. You are supernatural because you have the Holy Spirit in you. So the key to the Christian walk, the key to the Christian walk is to allow the Holy Spirit to be in charge of your life. Amen. To allow the Holy Spirit to so permeate your soul and even your body, right?
Yes.
That you are supernatural.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying, beloved of God? Yes? God is good all the time, and all the time, God is so very, very good. Alright? So, the problem that you're dealing with is a light and momentary affliction. That problem is a light affliction. And it's a temporary one. Because you are growing. You're growing in the knowledge of God. And the brighter the light. Everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Now imagine you are in a dark room. You can't see anything. Close your eyes. You cannot see anything. Now imagine someone flipped the switch. Now open your eyes. Boom. What happens, beloved of God? Light triumphs over darkness. Right? So the greater revelation that you have of Jesus in your life, the brighter the light, the darkness has to give up that territory. Do you understand?
Yes.
Right? If I'm shining with a 60 light capacity, maybe I can only, you know, give light to about, I don't know, about 10 feet or whatever. I don't know, okay? But if I increase the intensity of a light to 100 watt or 200 watts even, whatever, right? The light will have a bigger territory and the darkness will have to give up that territory in your life. Yeah. Whatever stress, whatever problems in your life, right, they will be pushed back as the light of your glory in you is shining brighter and brighter. Yeah. Amen, beloved of God? Amen. Man, I'm blessed. How about you?
Amen.
Amen.
Blessed.
Oh, by the way, I think I know why I mentioned about my watch. Be careful. I don't pay attention to time. Amen. So I might be preaching till 5 p.m. today. Amen. Hallelujah. And you don't know. You're in a twilight zone. Amen. It's like time doesn't exist. Time does not exist. Did you know that? I don't want to get into the weird science, but time is actually relative. But anyway, forget about science. Science is still natural. I want the supernatural things. Amen? Hallelujah. So, this is the exciting part of the Super Mega Series, if you want to call it, from 1 Corinthians 1:30. Jesus has become our wisdom. Jesus has become our righteousness. Jesus has become our holiness. And here's the fourth part, the final part of that verse. Jesus has become our redemption. How blessed we are to be living for such a time as this. When the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is is greater than ever. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit's activity in believers' life is becoming increasingly
yes.
more powerful?
Yes,
yes? Amen?
Yes.
Amen. I don't believe in this Christian retreating mentality. You know, it's like, well, the world is going to get, you know, stronger and stronger, and then the Christians are supposed to become, you know, kind of like cowering. You know, let's go ahead and build a fort. Let's all hunker down, Christians. After all, you know, if you read the book of Revelation, right? Well, actually, it's not Revelation; it's in Thessalonians. The Antichrist is coming to town, right? It's like, oh my goodness, you know, the Antichrist is coming. What can the Christians do? You know? You know, the son of perdition, the Bible says. Well, the Bible is very short on the subject of the Antichrist. God says that the Lord will destroy the Antichrist with the breath of His mouth.
Amen.
That's it. It's like anticlimactic. It's like loser. Right? It's like I thought the Antichrist was supposed to create some powerful magic against Jesus or something, right? Like, boom, you know, like we'll call down fire and all these things. Man, it's like the Bible is short. The Lord will destroy the Antichrist with the breath of His mouth and with the brightness of His coming.
Yeah.
It's like, boom, it's like, it's here today and gone tomorrow. Man, the church is becoming brighter and brighter and stronger and stronger because of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the activity of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I believe we are born for such a time as this, that the Holy Spirit can release the revelation on Jesus, our redemption, that many even believers in the past generations may not have seen before. Not because we are better than they. No, no, no. Not at all because of that. It's because of the work of grace.
Uh-huh.
We're not better than anybody else. We're just blessed to be living at such a time as this, when the Holy Spirit is revealing Jesus, our redemption. Amazing truth, right? It's like, Lord, you know, I think throughout the whole year, if there's enough Sundays in 2019, right, we're going to keep on talking about what we have been redeemed from.
Amen.
It's amazing. But we have not seen the perfection of this protective barrier, if you will, because I still see some Christians who died of cancer, for example, or Christians who died of this heart disease, or Christians had this problem. So clearly, God is not the problem. Let's settle that first. God is not the problem. Because if we make God to be the problem, we might as well just go home. I mean, if God is the problem, right? Like His word is not true, let's forget about the whole thing. The whole universe would self-destruct. The Bible says the universe is upheld by the power of His word. Did you know that?
Amen.
The reason the earth is still protected today from like a big meteorites from hitting our planet, from destroying our planet, is because Jesus is faithful to His word.
Amen.
The earth is still standing here.
Amen.
Right? We're not hit by all kinds of really strange debris out there. It's because God is faithful to His word. Till this day, we're still breathing because of the faithfulness of the word of God. So we know God is not the issue. So when something happens to believers, I want to know why. Right? This person has the Holy Spirit. I have no doubt that this person is born again, right? And please, don't ask what sin that the person did. Or maybe his parents' sin, generational curses. Let's throw away all that junk out, right? Because Jesus had already taken care of the sin issue. When I say I want to know what's going on, I'm not trying to find fault. Well, he just does not have enough faith. Or he lives in sin. Let's not give all that, you know, old answers to the problem. But I still want to know what's going on. Perhaps there is a revelation for believers that we have not fully attained yet. Perhaps there is something about Jesus, our redemption revelation, right? That we need the Holy Spirit to enlighten that searchlight so that the dark areas of our lives are becoming lesser and lesser. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Sickness and diseases, right? Lying symptoms, they thrive in the dark areas of our lives because they can creep in unnoticed. Easily they can creep in unnoticed and then all of a sudden, man, I got back pain. Where does this back pain come from? It's like coming from left field. Man, I tried my best, you know, sitting in the right, sleeping in the right posture. I get the best pillow. I get the best this. All of a sudden, somebody got hit with a back pain, for example. It's like something that coming out from a left field. Well, let me tell you, that nasty, stinking sickness diseases, they can creep in the dark corners of your life that you cannot see, and just creep in right behind your back, and then all of a sudden, boom, a Christian can still have really, really weird problems in their body. So we need the Holy Spirit to enlighten the eyes of our heart.
Yes.
So that we are no longer blindsided by the problems and the sicknesses and diseases and the lying symptoms in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I want you to make a resolution in your heart here today. Pastor Henry, I'm with you. I want to know more about Jesus, our redemption.
Yes.
Perhaps I have been nagged by problems in my life because of my lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge.
Yes.
In other words, there are dark spots in their lives that they could not see. But by the help of the Holy Spirit today, right? Together we will have that enlightenment. By the way, that prayer, that the eyes of our heart to be enlightened, is the daily prayer of Apostle Paul. So if Apostle Paul prayed that every day or every time, oh, that the eyes of my heart be enlightened, that I may know the hope, oh, that I will be enlightened. How much more that you and I, right, should have that desire, right, to make it into your regular prayer.
Yeah.
Lord, enlighten the eyes of my heart. Mm-hmm. Enlighten the eyes of my loved ones. Enlighten the eyes of my heart that I may know the hope of your calling in my life. The glorious wealth of your inheritance in the saints. The exceeding great power that you have vested in me who believe. Can you make that into one of your, you know, regular prayers? Right? Lord, enlighten the eyes of my heart so that I have the revelation of what Jesus has already done for me. Amen? Now, Hebrews 9:12. This is from the 2004 New Living Translation Bible. Once for all time, he took blood into that most holy place, but not the blood of goats and calves. He took his own blood, and with it, he secured our salvation forever. There is something that the Holy Spirit reminds me. Don't plow through. Don't tell them more about what they've been redeemed from until their foundation is strong, because you're wasting your time, Pastor Henry. And so it's like, Lord, why do I talk about the security of our salvation? That sounds like Christianity 101, right? How to be born again, and then you have eternal life. Well, the Holy Spirit tells me, unless they're strong in the foundation of their eternal salvation in Christ Jesus, there will be a crack in their revelation of Jesus our redemption. There will be times that it doesn't work. There will be times like something seems to slip through because of a crack foundation. Alright? So I'm going to strengthen your foundation to the fact that Jesus said, through my own blood, I have secured your salvation forever. Your salvation is eternal. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
You cannot lose your salvation, in other words. I'm just making it plain and simple. Are we cool with this? One time, you know, there was a lady that kind of like was unhappy for me to tell the church that we have eternal salvation. Oh, no, pastor. If you renounce Jesus, you lose your salvation. If you deny Jesus, that's it, man, you go to hell. It's like, where did you get that from? Well, you know, God says, if you deny me, I'll deny you. But how many times that Peter denied Jesus? Sounds like a contradiction of terms, right? He said, if you deny me, I'll deny you. But Peter denied him 3 times with cussing. Not just denying, I renounce you, Jesus. He was, the Bible says, he was, beep, 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 beep. I blankety blank did not know him. I don't know who Jesus is. So, let's end that argument, right? About, if you deny Jesus, you go to hell, man. Yeah, you are saved by grace, right? But if you renounce Him, you turn your back on Him, you go to hell. Basically, you lose your salvation. Pastor Henry, you cannot pass this line. You don't go forward with my church until they are absolutely secure in their revelation that by my own blood, I have secured unto them salvation forever. To those who are listening to me online, I want to let you know that by His own blood, the Bible says, Hebrews 9:12, He took His own blood and with it He secured our salvation forever. Say, Jesus secured my salvation forever.
Jesus secured my salvation forever.
Now, if God is the one who secure your salvation, do you think you are strong enough to unsecure yourself?
Nope.
Are you greater than God?
Yep.
Let's end that argument. let's end that argument. All right. Now I'm gonna slaughter another sacred cow. Well, if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you are damned forever. And where do you think they get that? Matthew 12, Luke 12, and Mark 3. Man, if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, He's guilty of an eternal sin. Eternal sin, yo. This is a serious stuff, right? Now, listen. God says, I have secured your salvation forever. So sounds like a contradiction of terms again. Jesus, you said that if we blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, we're going to be guilty of eternal sin. But here God says, I secured your salvation forever. Beloved of God. Because I'm going to show you once and for all that a believer cannot commit the sin of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Once you are saved forever, that's it. You cannot blaspheme against the Holy Spirit once you are born again. Once you have been saved by grace through faith, right? Once you receive Jesus, you cannot be committing eternal sin. Are you ready? Next, same Hebrews 9:12, but from the NET. What's NET stands for again? New English Translation Bible. Look, same Hebrews 9:12. And He entered once for all into the most holy place, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. And so He Himself, again that word, secured. He Himself secured eternal redemption. Say eternal redemption.
Eternal redemption.
Well, but Jesus said, a person who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit commits eternal sin. Now, I want to let you know that eternal redemption triumphs over eternal sin. Somebody give a clap offering to the Lord. Amen. Do you see the fresh revelation that slaughtered that sacred cow that will cause your heart to be resting assured that a believer does not have to worry about eternal sin because a believer has eternal redemption. And what does the Bible say in James chapter 2? Mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen? So, when you put eternal redemption against eternal sin, which one triumphs over judgment? Well, according to James chapter 2, I think verse 13, right? Mercy glory over. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So eternal sin that will send a person to eternal judgment cannot overcome the eternal mercy through the eternal redemption that Jesus Himself has already secured with His own blood. I can breathe easy. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Pastor, you believe once you're saved, you're always saved? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what if the person, you know, they stop coming to church, they join this cult, and now they renounce Jesus? First of all, number one, we never know if the person was saved to begin with. Just because a person come to church, right, does not necessarily mean a person is born again. Am I right? Just being in the garage does not make you into a car. Right? 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 But if the person is a truly born-again believer, right? The person may you know, backslid, if you will. You know, they stop coming to church. They join this really weird teachings and become a cult member. But if a person is truly born again, a son will eventually return home. Period. No matter how bad the son is, a prodigal that eats pig's food, a son will return home. Are you happy or are you happy? Amen. Amen? Amen. Right? So once you are born again, beloved of God, once you have received Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior, you believe that Jesus died for your sins and He rose again, as the book of Romans 10 says, and with your mouth you speak, Lord Jesus, right? The Bible says, you shall be saved. And once you are saved, my friends, you are eternally saved. You can deny, you can renounce Jesus a million times. You cannot return to your mother's womb to be born into a different family. Impossible. That's why Jesus used the strong word of being born again. The idea of being born again is like you are permanently, right? A coats. Right, Pastor Ken?
Amen.
Right? Right. Say, you know, Christy, you know, Christy Evans, she changed her last name, right? But she's still a Coates. You know, she's still, you know, Pastor Ken's beloved daughter. You know, it's like, still, cannot change. She cannot return to Sheila's womb to be born into a different family. Impossible. Do you understand? So the idea of being born into a family is the permanency of your security in Christ. Man, I hope your foundation is strong on this. Because your foundation is strong on this, we can move forward. Amen? Just realize that you have eternal salvation purchased by the blood of Jesus. And mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen? Hallelujah. So you're eternally saved.